Chapter 2. Prince Andrew. Survivors of Epstein's sexual abuse were incensed by his first lenient sentence and his sweetheart deal, which included immunity from prosecution for his co-conspirators. By agreeing to a conviction for procuring a prostitute under the age of 18, Epstein had legalistically converted vulnerable teenagers into sex workers. In 2015, Virginia Roberts fought back against the sweetheart deal by filing a civil lawsuit stating that Epstein and Maxwell had sexually abused her and groomed her into becoming a sex slave to serve elites, including Prince Andrew and Alan Dershowitz. Everyone she accused denied her claims, and countersuits were filed. Dershowitz called his accusers liars and prostitutes. An out-of-court settlement was reached with Epstein. The court document filed in 2015 by Virginia Roberts stated, "Epstein made me have sex with Prince Andrew several times. Prince Andrew, Maxwell and I are shown in the photograph below. I had sex with him three times, including one orgy. I knew he was a member of the British royal family, but I just called him Andy. One day when I was in London, specifically in a townhouse that is under Maxwell's name, I got news from Maxwell that I would be meeting a prince. Later that day, Epstein told me I was meeting a major prince. Epstein told me to exceed everything I had been taught. He emphasized that whatever Prince Andrew wanted, I was to make sure he got. Eventually, Prince Andrew arrived, along with his security guards. The guards then went out of the house and stayed out front in their car. It was just Epstein, Maxwell, and me inside, alone with Andy. I was introduced to the prince, and we kissed, formally, cheek to cheek. There was a lot of legal discussions about Andy and his ex-wife, Fergie. Then the discussion turned to me. Maxwell said, 'Guess how old she is?' Prince Andrew guessed, 17. Then we all went to a Chinese restaurant for dinner, and then to Club Tramp, a fancy members-only nightclub in central London. Andy arranged for alcohol to be provided to me at the club. Eventually we left. I rode with Epstein and Maxwell back to the townhouse. On the way there, Epstein and Maxwell informed me that the prince wanted to see more of me that night. Andy travelled in a separate car with his guards. We all arrived back at the townhouse and went upstairs. Epstein took a picture of me and Andy with my own camera. The picture above is that picture, which has been widely circulated on the internet. Andy has his left arm around my waist and is smiling. The picture was developed on March 13, 2001, and was taken sometime shortly before I had it developed. I was 17 years old at the time. I wanted a picture with the prince because I was keeping in contact with my family. I had told my mum and my grandma that I was meeting Prince Andrew and that I'd take a picture for them. They told me to be careful. After the picture, Epstein and Maxwell kissed me and said to have fun. They left Andy and me alone upstairs. We went to the bathroom and bedroom, which were just steps away from where the picture was taken. We engaged in sexual activities there. Afterwards, Andy left quickly with his security. I chatted with Epstein about this the next day. I told him, it went great. Epstein said something to the effect of, you did well. The prince had fun. I felt like I was being graded. It was horrible to have to recount all these events and have to try to meet all these needs and wants. I told Epstein about Andy's sexual interest in feet Epstein thought it was very funny. Epstein appeared to be collecting private information about Andy. When I got back from my trip, Epstein paid me more than he had paid me to be with anyone else, approximately $15,000. That money was for what I had done, and to keep my mouth shut about working with the prince. The second time I had sex with Prince Andrew was in Epstein's New York mansion in spring 2001. I was 17 at the time. Epstein called me down to his office. When I got there, Epstein was there along with Maxwell, Joanna Schoberg, and Andy. I was very surprised to see him again. Epstein and Maxwell were making lewd jokes about Randy Andy. I had the impression that Andy had come there to see Epstein and to have sex with me. There was no other apparent purpose for Andy to be there. I was told to go upstairs with Andy and to go to the room I thought of as the dungeon, the massage room, but it is really scary looking. I had sex with Andy there. I was only paid $400 from Epstein for servicing Andy that time. The third time I had sex with Andy was in an orgy on Epstein's private island in the US Virgin Islands. I was around 18 at the time. Epstein, Andy, approximately 8 other young girls and I had sex together. The other girls all seemed and appeared to be under the age of 18 and didn't really speak English. Epstein laughed about the fact they couldn't really communicate, saying that they are the easiest girls to get along with. My assumption was that Jean-Luc Brunel got the girls from Eastern Europe, as he procured many young foreign girls for Epstein. They were young and European-looking and sounding. Afterwards, we all had dinner near the cabanas. The other girls were chatting away among themselves, and Epstein and the prince chatted together. I felt disgusted and went quickly to my own cabana that night and went to sleep. Prince Andrew must have flown out early the next morning, as I did not see him when I got up. I have seen Buckingham Palace's recent emphatic denial that Prince Andrew had sexual contact with me. That denial is false and hurtful to me. I did have sexual contact with him, as I have described here, under oath. Given what he knows and has seen, I was hoping that he would simply voluntarily tell the truth about everything. I hope my attorneys can interview Prince Andrew under oath about the contacts and that he will tell the truth. Virginia Roberts. In late 2019, news headlines about Prince Andrew, Epstein and Virginia Roberts went parabolic in the UK. Hoping to dodge the storm, Prince Andrew fled to Spain with his partner in crime for many years, Fergie. While they sunbathed in Malaga, the Daily Mail published a video of Andrew peeping out of Epstein's front door and waving at a young woman departing from the 9-storey, 21,000-square-foot mansion. The video also showed Epstein leaving the house in the company of a shivering young blonde. The footage was dated December 6, 2010, when Andrew was supposed to be operating as the UK's special representative for international trade. After questioning a source close to the royal family, I was told that Andrew had been advised to drop Epstein after his first conviction, but that he had refused to listen. Supposedly, there had been a heated discussion, but he had continued his relationship with the paedophile anyway. The source claimed that in late 2019, the Queen had been at Balmoral Castle in Scotland, where she spends the summer. Andrew and Fergie had arrived, but with Prince Philip, who dislikes Fergie. Scheduled to arrive, the Duchess of York was informed that she had to leave. As a show of good faith, the Queen made a public appearance with Andrew at a church. Then the Epstein story heated up, and Prince Philip's arrival was imminent. So Andrew and Fergie flew to a $38 million mansion in Malaga. They got a flight from Farnborough Airport, which is 30 minutes from where I live. A source at the airport disclosed that Fergie and Andrew refused to speak to anybody and were spirited away by a small army of bodyguards and Secret Service guys. The Royal PR machine stated, "It is emphatically denied that the Duke of York had any form of sexual contact or relationship with Virginia Roberts. Any claim to the contrary is false and without foundation," and added, "Any suggestion of impropriety with underage minors is categorically untrue." Andrew and Fergie fled in a hurry, hoping that the Epstein news would settle down while they enjoyed the Spanish sunshine. The Daily Mail quoted a source with inside knowledge of Andrew's visit to Manhattan. "The prince looked entirely at ease in Epstein's house. There were girls coming and going. One who came out of the house with Epstein about an hour before Prince Andrew said goodbye to the brunette was tiny and shivering. It was a particularly cold New York December day. What I remember most is the constant procession of girls and women going to and from the house. It was chilling to see. Everyone knew by that point that Epstein was a convicted paedophile, yet he was flaunting his lifestyle in plain sight. When the prince came to the door, I was stunned. He looked totally at ease. He said a few words to the girl, who was very pretty, and then she walked off down the street in the direction of Central Park. If I hadn't known it was Prince Andrew, I would have thought he owned the place. He looked so comfortable and relaxed as he stood there at the door. He didn't appear to have a concern in the world as he smiled and waved goodbye to the girl. It was only as the girl walked off that he glanced around the doorframe, almost as if to check no one was watching." According to Vanity Fair writer Vicky Ward, the interior of the mansion was weird and twisted. The entry foyer where Prince Andrew had stood was decorated with rows of individually framed artificial eyeballs. Video footage showed Epstein's initials on the wall next to the front door. Outside, he had installed a heating system below the pavement to melt the snow. On the wall was a portrait of Bill Clinton in red heels and the semen-stained blue dress worn by Monica Lewinsky on the day of the world-famous blowjob, which Bill had initially denied, but had then appeared repentant on TV and confessed, which distracted the media from the true story of the cocaine that had been smuggled into Arkansas by the CIA under George H.W. Bush and Oliver North, an operation that Arkansas Governor Bill Clinton had protected with his state police force, documented in my book, American Made. There was a huge painting of Epstein as a convict surrounded by razor wire by a gun tower with armed guards, which he said was to remind me that I could go back to prison at any time. Hanging from the chandelier was a human-sized female doll. A bathroom had prosthetic breasts on its wall, which, according to a survivor, enabled Epstein to play with the nipples as he took a bath. He had a giant stuffed tiger, and at the bottom of the main staircase, a chessboard with human-sized pieces modelled on his female staff. He had a twice-life-size statue of a naked African warrior, and a leather room. He advertised his closeness to his elite friends through numerous photos of him posing with people such as Bill and Hillary Clinton, Woody Allen, and Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman. How did Prince Andrew miss the procession of girls? Police officers who investigated the case claimed that anyone who had attended Epstein's properties knew full well that he was abusing teenagers. Some of their photos were on the walls. During an FBI raid, thousands of indecent images of teenage girls were found on hard drives. The video published by the media showed Epstein emerging from his mansion at 3:35 p.m. wearing a thick, white, fur-lined winter coat, followed by a girl dressed in a grey top, carrying his glasses. barely as tall as Epstein's shoulders. She appeared cold and trembling while walking him to his Bentley. While he gets into the back of the vehicle, she stands on the street with an obedient expression, as if receiving instructions. Passers-by glance at them. After 2 minutes, she jogs back to the house. Trembling, she stands on the step and presses the doorbell. The door is opened by a professional-looking brunette, resembling Sarah Kellen, Epstein's former assistant, who several survivors have alleged to be a co-conspirator. Operating as Maxwell's lieutenant, Kellen allegedly had a list of girls whom she contacted to arrange meetings with Epstein. When questioned in court, she exercised her right to remain silent. Now married to US race car driver Brian Vickers, Kellen has not publicly commented on the case. In the video, at 4:30 p.m., the door opens and a brunette emerges. She stops to gaze back at Prince Andrew at the door. They chat for a few seconds before she walks away, leaving Andrew watching the street before closing the door. She was later identified as Catherine Keating, the daughter of Paul Keating, a former Australian Prime Minister, who violated protocol by putting his arm around the Queen in 1992, earning him the nickname Lizard of Oz. At the time of the video, Catherine was in her late 20s. In 2013, at a Dom Perignon-sponsored event, Catherine was photographed with Ghislaine Maxwell at her home for the launch of a social network called IdeaPod, a publishing and education platform. Also in the photo were the Prime Minister of Iceland, Ólafur Ragnar Grímsson, his wife and their daughter. In 2014, Catherine helped to push Maxwell's ocean conservation agenda by interviewing Epstein's procurer for the Huffington Post. In 2015, at the opening of the Whitney Museum of American Art, Catherine was photographed with Misha Nonu, the British-Iraqi fashion designer, who, it is believed, played a role as a matchmaker for Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, at Nonu's Fall 2014 New York Fashion Week show. Catherine was photographed with Princess Eugenie.